So we're gonna talk about what I think is a fascinating topic. It's really a topic that gets to the core of a malek on the one hand, and a beautiful word in Parshas B'Shalach, I think, or an intriguing idea, but really is here in Parshas Vayetze, and next week in Parshas Vayishlach, and that is the following. So it tells us in this week's parsha that Vayisak Yaakov the Rachel, Vayisas Kolo Vayev, that when Yaakov meets Rachel, he lets out a cry when he meets Rachel for the first time. Why is he crying? So one of the things Rashi quotes, the Maamar Chazal, very famous Maamar Chazal, Shebab Biadayim Rekanio. So Yaakov Avinu felt bad that when it was time to come and meet Rachel, so he didn't have any money with him. He had nothing with him. He came totally empty-handed. Why was he empty-handed? So the Tziv says Al Derech HaPshad is that he was in Shem Ve'Aver for 14 years and probably spent his money. So now he's sort of coming empty-handed. But Rashi quotes a very famous Medrash that Eliphaz, the son of Esav, came chasing after Yaakov. And he came after Yaakov. He said, Yaakov, my father told me I have to kill you. What am I supposed to do? Because Eliphaz was conflicted. On the one hand, he wanted to do whatever his father told him to do because Kibbut Av Aim was one of the Iker Torahs of Esav. And Eliphaz had exposure to Yitzhak Avinu, so he didn't want to go and commit murder. On the other hand, you know, he apparently was not the biggest tzaddik in the world. So what's he supposed to do? So says Yaakov Avinu, why don't you take my money? Because the din is that Ani is Chashav Kemes. And therefore, if you take my money, it's ki'ilu you killed me, it's ki'ilu you were mekayim, what your father would have wanted to have taken place. In that sense, Eliphaz, at least part of the story here, he's certainly not a person which is all terrible. If anything, he's a person which is collaborating with Yaakov Avinu, how he can, on some level, be mekayim the mitzvah of Kibbut Av Aim, even under such trying circumstances. What's intriguing is the following. In Parshas Vayishlach, when we go through and figure out who are the descendants of Esav? So the Torah tells us there, Vatimna Haisa Pilegesh Eliphaz ben Esav, Vatelad La Eliphaz es Amalek, that Eliphaz gives birth to Amalek. And therefore, some of the Mefarshim ask the question, how is that so? Why would it be that Amalek, the nation that is most against Klal Yisrael, comes Dafka from Eliphaz, who seems to have been the son of Esav, that was least impacted by Esav? He was a person that was in tune. He had exposure, Chazal tells us, to Yitzchak. And he was able to have discussions with Yaakov in a certain kind of way. So why Dafka from Eliphaz? Why is Yitzchak, why is Amalek coming Dafka from there? There is, Derech Agav, a related question, which we'll speak about, I mean, some of us may be later today, but a related question, which is, Kibbut Av Aim does not apply, Chazal tells us, if they're asking you to violate an Isser. This is not just an Isser. This is really, I mean, it is Mr. also, but it's murder. Well, one would have assumed that he's not chayav and kibbut av aim at all, so part of the story figuring out is what exactly is going on with Eliphaz. But we're going to try to have three suggestions how exactly it is that Amalek comes from Eliphaz, if after all, of all the children of Yaakov, of Esav, he seems to have been one that was very much elevated and one that was very much unique. So, the question just follows. What happens when Eliphaz comes back to Esav? Esav says, so how did it go? What exactly happens in that conversation? So Rav Druk in his Sefer suggests that really could be the Esav was okay with it. Doesn't seem like he was ever upset about anything relating to this. And why is the question there? But if you look in the Sefer Hadar Zakenim, some of the Bali HaTosfos Al HaTorah in Parash B'Shalach, they actually quote the rest of the story, and it's a wild idea. That what exactly happened? Esav comes to Eliphaz and says to Eliphaz, go kill my brother Yaakov. Eliphaz doesn't know what to do, so he consults with his mother, who's apparently a good person. His mother says, no way you should do it. The only reason why he's telling you to do it is because he's too scared to do it himself. He thinks that Yaakov is too strong. Yaakov's going to kill him. So he says, why don't you go and you do it? But don't go there. Yaakov Avinu, why would you want to do that? Your father's a Rasha. Why would you want to listen? So what does he do? So he goes and he takes the money. Comes back to Esav, says to Esav, okay, I took all the money. Ani Chashav Kemes. Esav apparently does not buy that Maamar Chazal so much. Esav is not thrilled with that. Quote the Hadar Zakenim. Instead, what does Esav say? Apparently, you are not the one that I'm looking for. Where is your son? Where is your son? And he finds Amalek. And he says to Amalek, the grandchild, and says, okay, go now and kill Yaakov. It's all on you. The grandchild also goes now. He's going to the grandmother and says, so what should I do? Esav told me I have to go kill, so what should I do? So grandmother knows that Amalek's like a little bit off, and it's not going to work the same kind of svara. It's as follows. Torah told us in Brismi HaBesarim that Avraham Avinu's descendants are going to be slaves in Mitzrayim, and they're going to be slaves in Mitzrayim, but it's not so clear yet who are going to be, which descendants of Avram are going to be the ones that are slaves in Mitzrayim. As of now, it's slotted into Yaakov. But if you kill Yaakov, well then guess what? The descendants of Avram still have to go into Mitzrayim and to be slaves there. So who's that going to be? going to be you. It's going to be you. So don't challenge Yaakov. Don't do it at all. Says the Baalei Tosfos, that is why, an amazing idea. When does Amalek attack? Only once Bnei Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim. They're waiting for Bnei Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim, the end of Parshas B'Shalach. Once they're out, Amalek comes and attacks. Because Amalek understood that if I go too early, I'll be a slave in Mitzrayim. Only once Bnei Yisrael already had that, so now I can go in and I'm able to attack. If you look at that story on some level, what you see is in many ways in the opposite. Where does Amalek come from? Amalek's not coming from his father. It's really not Eliphaz. The same way that Eliphaz was impacted by Yitzchak, so Amalek was impacted by his grandfather. In many ways, it's a story about the impact of grandparents. And in that sense, what led them off a little bit was Dafka, the exposure to Esav, who sort of encouraged him to not do what his father did, but to go in a different kind of a path. There is a second idea in terms of where exactly, why Amalek comes from the world of Eliphaz, of what exactly is happening, to comment on the Shemi Shmuel and Parshas Yisrael. Shemi Shmuel has the following idea. We'll see a similar insight in a little bit from Chaim Shmulevitz. Pasuk tells us, Zelu umaseh asa Elokim, that in many ways things are created in parallel in this world. And it says to Shemi Shmuel as follows. It says in Tanit Beelio that Eliphaz tried to give his son Amalek good chinach. What was the good chinach he tried to give his son? He told him, you should know, Olam Haba, it's all there for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is going to get it. And if you want to have a connection to Klal Yisrael, you want to be in a good place, what you should do, if you want to be with them in Olam Haba, dig wells, build bridges. Help create a society in the world which will facilitate Bnei Yisrael being able to function as well as possible, and you yourself become an active member of society. Amalek was apparently turned off by this. And Amalek was turned off and said, I'm not looking to be anyone's tier two. I'm not looking to be anyone's, to be subservient to them. I'm not happy with this at all. And Amalek makes a hachlata. They are going to run away. He's going to run away from the chinuch of his father in the most intense way possible. Says Shemi Shmuel, Kinekuda v'shorash tov hayabo me'alifas shegadol b'cheik yoshal Yitzchak. Amalek had potential because he had exposure to Eliphaz. He had real potential. But Amalek made a choice, and that choice was to run away from that as much as possible. When a person, the same way that he had a choice, he could have ran towards Kedusha, and there's real Kedusha there. The second that he ran away, that was a choice that he made. That the same way that he could have been really a holy person, the choice that he made to run away is ultimately what led to Amalek. And that sense, we wondered, how could it be that you have a person like Eliphaz, which wants to be Mekayim, keep it off of aim. He has a child like Amalek, the source of such evil. How can that be? So for the hundreds of Canaan, if you look at the whole story, Eliphaz is very much impacted by Esav. If you look at the Shemi Shmuel, it's really all about free choice. Amalek had potential. Amalek could have gone somewhere, but he was frustrated about the fact that he was going to be of secondary importance. He was frustrated that he was going to be looked over, that he was only going to be able to dig wells and build bridges, but not really be at the forefront. He couldn't handle that, and he decided to actively make a choice to go in the wrong direction. Amalek was there despite his upbringing. Amalek was there despite the fact that he was brought up with good values. He ran away in a certain sense. Chaim Shmulevitz has a very beautiful insight in Parshas Vayetze and Sichos Musar. It is one that Rav Yitzchak Yosef and Yaakov Yosef even quotes in halachic context. It's a very, very beautiful idea. The whole world of Esav and the whole world of Eliphaz is a little bit complicated. Are they good or are they bad? Esav, who comes from Esav? On the one hand, Amalek comes from Esav. On the other hand, we referenced last week that Shemaya Vavtayon, the Rebbeim of Hillel and Shammai, that Unkelus, the Rebbe Meir, they're all Gerim that come through the world of Esav. Esav is complex. Eliphaz is also complex. Why is Eliphaz so complex? We see the Or V'choshech Sheba Adam. What's going on there? He's so connected to Yitzchak. He's so connected to certain good values of Kibbut Av Eim. He's also so off the evil of his Kibbut Av Eim. He doesn't say to Esav, no, I can't kill Yaakov for you. He tries to find the chop of how he could kill Yaakov, and he's debating, like, should I kill him? Should I not kill him? There's a distorted kind of an approach there. There is something deeply off in the worldview. He's a mixture of everything. Says the Chaim Shulevitz, quoting the comment of the Or Chaim, the way that I would say it, the way that Torah works, there are certain individuals that are high voltage. The Or Chaim writes that often those that have greater Kedusha have the potential for greater Tumah. Klal Yisrael has greater Kedusha. They also can become Tame in more ways. Non-Jews have less Kedusha. They also can for many days not be Matame, but Ohel. They have less forms of Tumah. High voltage people can go in both directions. Eliphaz was a high voltage person. Amazing Koach, but he was conflicted in different ways. But the potential for high voltage was very, very much there. Eliphaz, again, it's similar to Shem Yishmuel. Eliphaz within him, sorry, Amalek within him, there were different possibilities. There were different ways that a person could have gone. And where did he go? So he had the potential for both high voltage. He took it to a very bad direction. It wasn't just bad chinuch, or that he rejected the chinuch, but built within him was the potential to go in one of two directions. Built within him was that he was going to be at the top of good or the top of bad. Esav was like that also. If you're a ger from Esav, so then you're going to be Rabbi Meir, Unkelus. You're going to be Shmaya Vavtalyum. But if you're the bad part, you're going to be Amalek. It's really all mixed in a certain sense. And we see even hints of this, that Amalek has that potential good. Who comes from Haman, the Gemara, and Gidin? The Ban of Shalhaman are Lomdim Torah in Bnei Brak. That there's a certain kind of Geirus that people could potentially have even from that kind of a scene. So we had the question as to how is it that Eliphaz seems to be so wonderful. Kibbut Ava'im, Ketet Yitzchak Avinu. And nevertheless, you turn around, Amalek's coming from him. How is that possible? So the first Malach HaTzitzit Kanim, the elaborate story that Eliphaz, that Amalek was very much impacted by Esav, Arasha. He didn't have the exposure to Yitzchak the same way. Impacted by Esav, it was calculated, it was planned, it was methodical. I mean, wait till after Mitzrayim, then I'm going to attack. The second Mahalach, Mahalach of the Shem Yishmuel, he had good chinuch. He got over the appropriate, correct methods from Eliphaz, but he made a choice. He made a choice. And people that make choices sometimes can go in a different direction. And people have Bechira Chashas. Amalek chose to reject what Eliphaz was. It wasn't because of Eliphaz, it was despite Eliphaz. When you find it in Chaim Shulev, it says, no, Esav's conflicted, and there's a lot of different power going on in Eliphaz also. And Amalek also, there's a lot of different power, And he wasn't ambivalent of conflicted, and he wasn't going in a good direction, but he led it all in a very, very negative kind of a way, because it was a high voltage kind of a scene. A person that was going to be excellent, a lot going on, but he took it to a very, very wrong direction. But because he was high voltage, the potential for Kedusha, the potential for Tumah were there in great extent. He dafka chose the wrong direction. Have a wonderful rest of your day.